Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. My subject this morning is, when does a Christian need to examine himself? When does a Christian need to examine himself? 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 6. This is the third time I am coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. I told you before, and foretell you as if I were present a second time. And being absent now, I write to them which heretofore have sinned, and to all other, that if I come again, I will not spare. Since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you ward is not weak, but is mighty in you. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his precious word. Notice verse 5. Examine yourselves, take inventory, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? In the book of 1 John, chapter 3, verse 20, John said, "And if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things." Verse 21 declares, "But if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God." And in the book of 2 Peter, the first chapter, verse 10, Peter said, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall." And then in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 39, the Bible says, "Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." So as we look at these opening verses of Scripture, there are four areas that I want us to examine together. First of all, a Christian needs to examine himself or herself if the Bible no longer claims his love, or better put, his time. In Matthew 4:4, Jesus answered and said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And if your Bible is being neglected, if you do not study your Bible at least once a day, if you do not bear your heart in the Word of God, then you need to examine yourself. You need to for three reasons, because the Bible is the instrument of regeneration. In James 1:18, "Of his own will begot he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." Verse 21, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul." First Peter 1:23, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever." The Bible is not only the instrument in regeneration, but it is also an instrument in sanctification. In the 17th chapter of John, verse 17, Jesus prayed, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word, O Lord, is truth. In Psalm 119, verse 9, David raises the question and answers it as he directs it toward young men. He says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? And then answers the question by saying, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. And in the 15th chapter of John, verse 3, Jesus said, now you are clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. So the Bible is an instrument in regeneration. It is an instrument in sanctification. And of course, the Bible is an instrument in indoctrination. One reason so many Baptist people are tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine is because they do not study for themselves the Word of God. And you would be surprised how many false prophets not only get into the homes by way of radio and television of Baptist people, but how many false prophets get into the pocketbooks of well-meaning Baptist people simply because they are not indoctrinated in the truths of the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And I believe with all of my heart the only way that we can successfully ward off the deception of false prophets in these last days is by knowing something about the book of God and being indoctrinated in the things of the Bible. John 7:17. If any man shall do his will, he shall know of the truth, whether I speak of myself or another. Not just the truth, but he uses the word doctrine. He shall know of the doctrine, whether I speak of myself or another. A Christian needs to examine himself when he neglects the Word of God, because it is the instrument of regeneration, sanctification, and the safest instrument for indoctrination. A Christian needs to examine himself or herself when there is an absence of deep Christian love for any brother or sister in the Lord Jesus Christ. If the Bible teaches anything, it teaches that God's people not only love Him because He first loved them, but it teaches that Christian people have a mutual love one for the other. First of all, I believe we should love our brothers and sisters in Christ because Christ commanded it. Now, we hear much about the Ten Commandments, and we ought to hear more. But there is an 11th commandment in the 13th chapter of John, verse 34, when Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And I've heard people not just in our congregation, but from other states as well as other denominations in this town, compliment the fact that at Tabernacle Baptist Church there seems to be a mutuality of love between those who belong to this congregation. And I believe every Christian ought to do something every day to show some other brother or sister in Christ that you love him or her. It's not only Christ's command, but it's the badge of a Christian. Verse 35, John 13. If you do what Christ commanded and love one another, he said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one toward another. And we need to examine it even more closely because of the Bible's ban, B-A-N, what God says about one who professes to be a believer and at the same time does not love his brother or sister in Christ. I know that you know 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we, what you tell me? We love the brethren. The last part of the verse says, he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. And verse 15 says, he that hateth his brother, and John makes it even stronger, he that hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. So we need to examine ourselves when there is an absence of deep Christian love for our brothers and our sisters in the Lord Jesus. A Christian needs to examine himself, and this area, I think, is probably the most prominent in Jacksonville of the others that have been mentioned. A Christian needs to examine himself or herself when Sunday becomes just another day. I'll stand here and tell you, as I have told you over and over, that there is something different about Sunday. There is something distinctive about Sunday. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday are very kindred. But Sunday is not akin to the other 6 days of the week. John said in Revelation 1 and 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And Paul said in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another or encouraging one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And when my feet hit the floor on Sunday morning, no one has to remind me that Sunday is different. There is a feeling in my mind and my heart and my very being that Sunday commemorates the day that the Lord Jesus came forth from the grave. It ought to be a day, first of all, of spiritual meditation. Psalm 1, 1 and 2, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate both day and night. Sunday should not only be a day of spiritual meditation, it should be a day of consecration. In 1 Chronicles 29 and 5, he mentions the workers who mold and fashion silver and gold and calls them artificers. And as he mentions the silver and the gold being fashioned by those who work with it, he raises the question and says, who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? And that person on Sunday who is possessed with spiritual meditation, that person who desires to consecrate himself or herself to the Lord, will be like refined silver and refined gold if they pay attention to Sunday as being different to other days of the week. It should not only be a day of consecration, it should be a day of rededication. Last week in Nacogdoches, Texas, the first night of the meeting, the song leader had become ill that morning and could not return for the service, and another young man in the church volunteered to do the best he could. And he did real well. The Lord blessed him in his efforts, and then when the invitation was given, one of the first ones to come down to Brother Anderson and say, I want to rededicate my life, was this young man who had filled in for the song service that night. And he said, I want you to pray and Brother Brunson to pray for my wife. And on Thursday evening, she was sitting about where you're sitting, Tommy. After the service, she took her little 14-month-old baby and handed it to her husband. And she walked down the aisles of the church and told Brother Anderson she had been saved by the grace of God. And all of her life she had been steeped in Campbellism. But the point I'm making is this point. That when that daddy and that husband moved on a Sunday night and rededicated his life in genuine sincerity and said, pray for my wife, he had the great joy of seeing his companion saved by God's grace. And you better listen to your preacher this morning. We need to recognize the Lord's Day as being a day of meditation, consecration, and genuine rededication. And then a Christian should examine himself or herself. When sin is held on to as a prized possession, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And there sits before me this morning some in this audience who have never made an open public confession of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have not given evidence to family or friends that you know the Lord, that you have been forgiven your sins, that you have turned your heart because God convicted it in mighty power over to the Lord Jesus. And so let this serve as a warning that sin is blinding. Luke 6:39, can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? Sin not only blinds, but sin also binds. In the 18th chapter of the book of Luke, Jesus stood and preached in a synagogue, and present that day was a woman that had an infirmity that she had had for 18 long years. And she was bowed down or bent over by this physical infirmity, and in no wise could lift up herself. A picture of a sinner, blinded by sin, stooped over, bound by the cords of sin, and in such a depraved condition that he could never lift himself up. And God healed this woman. And the ruler of the synagogue became angry because he had done works on the Sabbath day. And in the 18th verse of this 13th chapter of the book of Luke, Jesus raises the question, ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, be loosed from this infirmity on the Sabbath day? And only the power of the Lord Jesus could reach down and loose the binding infirmity this poor soul had. And only the Lord Jesus can speak peace to a sinner's heart and loose the chains of sin. Sin's not only blinding and binding, but it is confined. You're looking at a preacher that not only believes in the reality of heaven, and I believe that the street is of gold, I believe the walls are of jasper, I believe the gates are of pearl. I believe it's just like it's recorded in the Word of God. But But you're looking at a preacher that also believes in the opposite to hell. I believe there's such a place as hell. And if you leave the walks of men a stranger to the grace of God, you will not go to the portals of glory, but you will go to the pits of the condemned. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not cast out devils in thy name, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Matthew 13, beginning with verse 47, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, the which when it was full, he drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world or the end of this age. The angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just and cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Examine yourself and see if you have the love you ought to have for the Bible, or spend the time you should with God's Word. Examine yourselves relative to your relationship to your brothers and sisters and the Lord Jesus Christ. Examine yourselves relative to Sunday, being different from the other days of the week. Examine yourselves as to whether sin has been washed away or has blinded and bound you and one day will carry you to the depths of eternal destruction. May we stand.
Number 174.